Welcome back to the Midday Show. And with me now here at the station is Patrick Trettinaro, who is the executive director of Stissing Center in Pine Plains. Welcome, Patrick.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Oh, my pleasure. Thanks for coming coming all this way from, what is it, 15 minutes or so?
I think 16 and a half.
I beg your pardon. I have been going to Stissing Center for a number of years now, and I just love any excuse to get over there.
Thanks.
How long have you been with the place?
So I started as executive director a little less than 2 years ago. Mm-hmm. But prior to that, I was on the board of directors and served a couple of years as board chair. Mm-hmm. And then I stepped down to sort of hand it off to other folks.
Yeah.
And they pretty quickly got a hold of me and said, hey, we're making a change. Can you come back, but this time as executive director? And after some soul searching, I said, yeah, actually, in this climate, in this world, bringing arts to my community is about the greatest service I could think of that I know how to do.
Yeah.
And so here I am.
Well, we're two peas in a pod. I came to the station just because I was a music fan. I mean, you know, ultimately what I wanted to do is just to help get music out. But what's resulted over time and what's become the kind of the most gratifying aspect of it is just sort of supporting the community, in my case, of mostly of musicians, but by extension, artists of all varieties, because we support everyone here, you know, that's in our community up here in the Hudson Valley, Catskills, you know. Mm-hmm. So it's been quite a gift. Did you have an arts business background, or what brought you to Stissing Center, even on the board?
This is sort of chapter three for me. My first chapter was working in live theater. I got my training as an actor, but pretty quickly.
Where
after
was that?
At Northwestern University in Chicago.
Yeah, my ex-wife attended and is an actor.
Ah, yeah, great place. Yeah. Great place to go for that. And pretty quickly after I left school, I started directing. So I made my living as a stage director for a long, long time.
Mm.
And then somewhere in the mid-90s, sort of fell backwards into working in television.
Mm-hmm.
And I ended up spending about 20 years at 30 Rock, working at NBC Universal.
Oh, okay.
As a sort of creative director and ultimately like executive overseeing branded content, everyone's worst nightmare, but also like it was really fun to do because my goal was to not make it icky, to make branded content fun. And, you know, I succeeded at that. And then when that wrapped up, I found myself going back to theater. I did some off-Broadway and some Broadway producing.
How did that feel going back?
Well, amazing.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it's funny how, you know, I tell the story when I was working in television, right? All the storytelling was in like 30-second, 1 minute, 2 minute increments, right? Mm-hmm. So you really hone your storytelling skills.
Right.
And then when I went back to theater, I found myself like with the sharper storytelling skills,
right.
But then, you know, rediscovering what I loved about live theater and that sort of dialogue between the audience and the artist.
But you were wielding a scalpel.
So it was a great experience to go back and get back into that. And
But in the 30 Rock years, did you accidentally stumble onto the set of SNL or the Today Show or anything?
Well, I didn't accidentally stumble, but it was my job to stumble in there from time to time. And it was pretty cool back in the day.
Yeah. In the 90s into the new century, I spent a bunch of years about, 10 blocks away at Sony Music, working in Midtown.
On 54th Street?
Yeah.
I spent many, many hours in those post-production rooms.
Oh, okay.
And then sneaking in time with like great recording artists and things.
But in the studios on the west side, you mean? Mm-hmm. Okay. I was in Madison, 550 Madison Avenue, which is where, you know, the offices were. But gotcha. But I got over to the studio here and there for one reason or another. And now you find yourself here in, it's still Dutchess County, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You find yourself in Dutchess County at Stissing Center. You find yourself doing a lot of hands-on live events. How involved are you as an executive director? Maybe you don't get the opportunity to be quite as hands-on with some of these productions you do there.
It just so happens we're a pretty small team.
Yeah.
So I wear several hats, but so does everybody else on our small staff.
Mm-hmm.
So I run the programming.
Mm-hmm.
I do I oversee the marketing, I oversee the fundraising.
Right.
But I have a great team. It's not like I do it all myself, right?
Right.
But the programming part of it, you know, the first season that I was in my chair, I inherited somebody else's programming, and it was great. But now the programming is mine.
Right.
It's really been inspiring to connect with artists, to create a slate of diverse arts. You know, we have this tagline at Sissing Center, find your center.
Mm-hmm.
And we talk about this all the time.
Clever.
Like that it's like no matter what you like, from bluegrass to Brahms to burlesque, mm-hmm. like there is something for you at Sissing Center. And so for me, it's like it's also a bit of a puzzle to be solved, is how do you balance, you know, not only balance different types of art forms, different types of music, but also balance local artists, regional artists, national, international artists, so that there is this spectrum, right? Because I definitely want local artists to be represented on our stage, but at the same time, there's a real hunger for world music, for you know, touring artists who are coming through, give them a moment as well. So it's a really interesting, like I said, a puzzle. I really enjoy it.
I guess a skill would be finding that balance. That would be the greatest skill you could possibly bring to your work, you know. Well, the idea is to kind of let our listeners know more about Sissing Center, which I think we're doing, but also to kind of maybe entice them to support. First of all, is there a membership?
There is a membership, yeah. If you go on our website and you go to the little navigation at the top, you'll see membership as one of the options. And it's a fairly new program.
Mm-hmm.
It for a $100 tax-deductible donation, what it gives you is a handful of things. One is early access to certain tickets that, you know, before they're released to the public. Also the occasional artist meet and greet, where you can occasionally sit in on a sound check or a rehearsal and sort of get a little behind the scenes view. But the other thing, the first one was last Thursday, is dinner with me.
Wait a minute. Stop everything.
It was awesome.
So what are your dietary restrictions, Patrick?
I am gluten-free, but otherwise I'm pretty open to anything. But we had our first member salon dinner last Thursday night at Sean Petra in Pine Plains, and there were about 16 people showed up. And you know, a lot of them didn't know each other. And by the end of the evening, it was just extraordinary. I mean, really one of the things we're able to do at the center is build community through a sort of shared love of the arts and music and the experience that people have. Like when they go there and they're part of this audience, they're part of this dialogue between the audience and the artist. Like it's transformative.
Sure.
And it's been wonderful that night at our member salon dinner to see people who didn't know each other connect and sort of like to see their eyes, you know, brighten, that they actually, a person they were speaking to who maybe ordinarily they wouldn't have any connection to, well, because they both love music, you know, by the end of the night, they were exchanging phone numbers and talking about going to a concert together.
Oh, amazing. Now, I mean, I don't see you, that you have any notes with you, so I don't want to put you on the spot, but if you can want to mention a few things coming up that you're excited about.
There are a handful of really cool things on the near horizon.
Okay.
The first thing I would say is this coming Saturday night, we have a show we call Opera Uncorked. It is a wine tasting where we're pairing wines from around the globe with arias.
Mm-hmm.
So we have a group of young opera singers, each one of them tremendous.
Right.
And we're partnering with a wine store in Ancrum called Fulton and Forbes. And so it's basically the sommelier and one of the performers are going to share with the audience how each wine is connected to. So for example, like Puccini, we're going to have an Italian red. Right.
I was going to ask, these must be mostly European wines then we're talking
about. Yeah. Although we are going to do a little American too, a little California wine slipped in there too. So it's really around a trip around the globe with music
And wine.
And wine. So that's this Saturday, Opera Uncorked. We did a similar thing last year where we paired wine with comedians and it went
over. That's amazing. Yeah.
Yeah. We called it the Grapes of Laughs. And this is the follow-up to this thing we're calling Opera Uncorked. So that's this weekend. And then coming up at the end of, I'm super excited and you might have to stop me because I can go on and on about this event. We're showing Frankenstein on August 29th, which, by the way, is the day before Mary Shelley's birthday.
Okay.
But it's the original Boris Karloff Frankenstein.
Right. Oh, yes. Amazing.
But the thing is that it was written without a score. You know, in 1931, the technology didn't exist to add additional silent music.
Track. I mean, yeah, talkies, as they call them, just had started maybe within a year or two of that.
Yeah, so all there was a dialogue track. Mm-hmm. There was no music track. Mm-hmm. So a fellow came up to me a little while, maybe almost 2 years ago, and said to me, "Hey, I've got the exclusive license from Universal Pictures. I've written mm-hmm. a score, a symphonic score for Frankenstein." Oh,
what day is that?
I'm performing it all around the world. This is on Saturday, August 29th. But the thing is, I said to him, you know, it sounds amazing, and it's, by the way, one of my favorite films. I'm obsessed.
Great film.
My artist is my office is covered in Boris Karloff fan art.
Oh, amazing.
He got the right guy, but I did say to him, "Hey, you know, we're relatively small. I can't fit a symphony on my stage, and I probably can't afford it either." But I said to him, "If you ever had a chamber orchestra version of this, I'm your guy." He called me back 2 months later and said, "I just finished the chamber orchestra version.
Oh my God.
Do you want to do the world premiere at Sissing Center?" So it's the world premiere of the chamber score for Frankenstein. It's being performed by the Argus String Quartet.
All right.
And just for the kicker, Boris Karloff's daughter, Sarah Karloff, who is 88 years old mm-hmm. and oversees the Boris Karloff estate, is joining us mm-hmm. for a Q&A before the movie about her father's
work. She's got to get to bed, no doubt. She can. Or she doesn't want to suffer through that film again, you know, one or the other. "Oh, that sounds amazing to me. I can't wait for this incredible event to happen, Patrick. Thank you for..."
Well done, Adam.
Well, you know, another Universal fan of... for many years. People can go to stissingcenter.org, right, for the full schedule. We even have right here at the station a small stack of the programs.
Great.
So if you're in the Red Hook area, stop by, grab one. We'll gladly give you a free one. Or just head directly out to Pine Plains on Route 199. It'll take you right to the Stissing Center's front door. Patrick Tatnero is the Executive Director of Stissing Center. Again, I'm encouraging everybody to head over there at some point. Go enjoy one of the many great events that they program for us lucky people here in the Hudson Valley. And we'll have to have you back on a kind of a regular basis, I think, just to update everybody what's going on.
That would be great.
All right.
Yeah, there's always something exciting happening.
I know. I just got a little... Now, here, I'm going to put you on the spot. You get to choose the next song that I'm going to play after this interview. So be careful.
Well, I'll tell you, I am, this is really not connected to Sissing Center, but I will tell you that I'm a lifelong John Prine fan.
We happen to play quite a bit of John Prine.
And if you've ever heard it, he did a hauntingly beautiful cover of "I Just Called to Say I Love You." So if you can track that down, that's my challenge to you, Adam.
You've taken my challenge and twisted it back and turned it on me. Well, well done. All right. Well, thank you, Patrick. You have a great afternoon and evening ahead. And we'll play John Prine. I Love You, the Stevie Wonder penned hit from the 80s, right?
Yeah.
All right.
And thanks for having me, Adam.
Oh, and my pleasure. Thank you. You're listening to 98.1 KZE.